I'm Pastor Brian Paulson, and this is The Message. We're glad you're listening here in Libertyville, in Lake County, or around the world. Center your heart now with the prayer for illumination. Listen deeply to the scripture and allow the message to speak God's word for your life.
Seeking your honor and glory in all that we do through Christ our Lord. Amen. The first scripture reading this morning is from the 17th chapter of Genesis. The Christian faith is a walk with God. Jesus' call to follow him resonates with the ancient call of God to Abram. God establishes a covenant life. It is a pattern of living where God sets the pace and we grow in wisdom and meaning. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Walk with me and be trustworthy. I will make a covenant between us and I will give you many, many descendants." Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "But my covenant is with you. You will be the ancestor of many nations. And because I have made you the ancestor of many nations, your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham. I will make you very fertile. I will produce nations from you, and kings will come from you. I will set up my covenant with you and your descendants after you in every generation as an enduring covenant. I will be your God and your descendants' God after you." God said to Abraham, "As for your wife Sarai, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will now be Sarah. I will bless her and even give you a son from her. I will bless her so that she will become nations, and kings of peoples will come from her." This is the end of our first reading of scripture today. May God put this reading to our use.
Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 31 to 38. Our bulletin quote by Dr. King is an effective summary of the consequence from Jesus' challenge in this scripture. Choosing to follow Jesus is an act of courage whose unselfishness transforms the world with love. Listen once again for God's beloved word. When Jesus began to teach his disciples, "The human one must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the legal experts, and be killed, and then after 3 days rise from the dead." He said this plainly. But Peter took hold of Jesus and scolded him and began to correct him. Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, then sternly corrected Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking God's thoughts, but human thoughts." After calling the crowd together with his disciples, Jesus said to them, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them. But all who lose their lives because of me and because of the good news will save them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this unfaithful and sinful generation, the human one will be ashamed of that person when he comes in the Father's glory and with the holy angels. This is the end of our reading from Scripture today, the Word of the Lord.
You know, before I begin today, I just want to share what a joy it always is for me to arrive in worship and see all of you and your faces. I want to try a little social experiment here for a minute. I would like you to smile and look around at all the people at you. Smile first, take a look around. Now, you may not have felt beautiful this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. You're beautiful, and it's wonderful to see you all here. What a breadth of life and experience is reflected in the congregation, and all of you online also. I just want to say, I hope you're smiling at someone, because we're smiling back at you. Well, I want to wonder about some of your life experience this morning. I'm going to begin by asking, have you ever had a saggy, soggy loaf of bread? Last week, I talked about my family's journey grinding wheat and baking bread. And I want to confess, it wasn't always a success. Now, over the course of this week, I've been talking with some members of the church. We've been swapping stories about their relative success or failures at baking bread. We've wondered, should we swap some recipes on baking bread? A few folks have been talking with me about the way their spouses tried to smile as they slowly chewed their way through homemade creations. Now, some of my family's first efforts at making bread ended up burnt, soggy, or saggy. Isn't that like life? I mean, we have big plans, a great idea. The dream of it rises and rises in our imagination, and then flop. Okay, come alongside Peter in our passage of Scripture today. He had big dreams. And in the scene just before this passage, Jesus asks, hey, how are people describing me? And the disciples say, well, you're being thought of like a holy person, like John the Baptist, or even like a prophet, like maybe Elijah. And then turning to Peter, Jesus asks, well, what about you? And Peter doesn't say, oh, you're a holy one or a prophet. No, he says, you are the Christ, the Messiah. You are the anointed one, the one with God's purpose. And he isn't wrong. Now, in Peter's plans, you can just imagine it. Jesus will bring righteousness, freedom, a new world, the end of Roman rule, the end of corruption, the end of spiritual hypocrisy, big plans, big dreams. But Jesus tells him to be silent about all that. And here we enter our passage today. Now, I was imagining with you the dreaming and scheming, the hopes and plans that were running through Peter's heart. But Jesus announces that he's going to have to go through some things. Has a loved one ever started a sentence with you in that way? Honey, we're going to have to go through some things. You know what that usually means. It rarely foretells something simple, easy, or painless. Jesus announces he will suffer many things. He will go through rejection by spiritual leaders of his day. Hey, this was not the plan for Peter. And Peter wasn't wrong to have his plans. Now, I confess, we're not mind readers. We don't have a perfect picture of what was in Peter's heart in that moment. But we can make some educated guesses. Let's say we'll take a look at the variety of common beliefs about the Messiah in the time of Jesus. Scholar William Plocker makes a list of them. Here are visions of the Messiah that were floating around in that day. The Messiah would be a military leader, a new high priest, a common person of the people, or by contrast, a human with divine superpowers. Some even thought there would be more than one Messiah. Now, by the time of the 4th century, that's the 300s, Christian writers structured the idea of Christ the Messiah as being one who was prophet, priest, and king, what we call the threefold office of Christ. But in Mark's Gospel, consider this, Mark's Gospel was written not in the 300s, but a pretty good educated guess is that it was written between the year 66 and 68 in the Common Era. So now I'm going to go back to what I suggested at the beginning. Peter planned Jesus would bring righteousness, freedom, a new world, the end of Roman rule, the end of corruption, the end of spiritual hypocrisy, big plans, big dreams. I think that's a fair assessment of what might have been in Peter's heart. So when Jesus says he's going to go through some things, that he would rise, but first he would suffer and be killed, well, Peter scolded him. Not my Messiah, no sir. We have big plans, big dreams. Suffering, death, not in the plan. Now here, the story goes from bad to worse. Jesus calls Peter Satan. I mean, how can Jesus be Christ if he's calling Peter, his wingman, Satan? Let me tell you, in the story, by this time, the loaf has collapsed. The oven has burned it. There ain't no bread for this journey. Okay, well then, who is this Satan? Pay attention. This is a Presbyterian church. Your minister is talking about Satan. You ready? Yeah. Now remember, Mark is the earliest of the Gospels, the first to be written that is in the Bible. Mark uses this term, Satan, a total of 6 times in his Gospel. And this here is the last use of that term in his Gospel. Jesus speaks of Satan in 3 other scenes before this moment. Now, one of the more helpful books that I've read about Satan and evil is entitled Unmasking the Powers, the Invisible Forces that Determine Human Existence by Walter Wink, a professor of yours, Amy, in your time when you were at Union Theological Seminary in New York. Wink, a place of spiritual giants, I should say. Okay. And not Amy alone. Wink suggests that there are 2 ways in which Satan is portrayed in Holy Scripture. Either as the tester, Wink even calls Satan God's district attorney, the tester, or as the one who is completely other, contrary, opposed to God. Mark portrays Satan as both tester, like when Jesus is tested by Satan in the wilderness, and as completely other, like when Satan sends birds to steal the seeds of God's word that are being spread in Jesus' parable. Now, here in this passage, we see both the tester and the other in the way Jesus uses this word. But first I can say, I can't imagine how horrible it must have felt for Peter to hear that word directed at him. Peter is testing Jesus by suggesting an alternate path for him, one with less suffering than the path that Jesus just described. And Jesus also goes on to say that Peter's thoughts are opposed to God. His thoughts are not God's thoughts. Peter's thinking common human thoughts. Okay, now remember, a pretty good estimation of when this gospel was written, the first to be written that is included in the Bible, it was between the year, let's say, 68 and 69. Now, what were human thoughts of people in Palestine in those days? In the year 66, before my estimated writing, in the year 66, there was a revolt in Jerusalem, and the Romans were cast out of the Jewish capital. So, this gospel was first read in a time of war with the Roman Empire. And devastating consequences were happening in the region of Galilee precisely as this gospel was being read. Even ultimately, Jerusalem was razed to the ground in the year 70 of the Common Era. Certainly, those first readers must have wondered, could there be another way? So Peter is learning. The first readers are learning. And we are too. That if you want to follow Jesus, you will have to go through some things. You'll have to leave behind your common thoughts of worldly power if you want your spirit to rise above the sorrows that surround you. Now, then, here's what I want to tell you today. You will go through some things. And you're thinking, I already know that, Brian. I mean, you're already going through some things, aren't you? You will go through some things. You may be suffering. But like those saints we sang about in our opening hymn, you will get through it. Take up your cross and follow Jesus, knowing you can get through it. Follow Jesus. I mean, he carried his cross, and his cross is empty. Take up his burden, and your own burden will become light, because you will not be carrying your burden alone. So I wonder, where is your cross? Is it a relationship? Is it an illness? Is it in the way you see things, your perception? Are you seeing injustice in this world, even in our own community? Have you been studying and studying, and now you feel like this is the time to take up the cross and make action with your life? Could your burden be a heap of unrealistic expectations that people thrust on you? Is that the cross that you bear? Or maybe you just feel an absence of God altogether. I wonder, have you never even taken up and pondered the Bible, God's Word, like our third graders will today? Or maybe you're challenged at work. You know, this week I read that corporations began in the United States as an expression of benevolence for society. Have you lost the sense of purpose in your labor? Maybe Maybe you are called to be an ethical voice in your workplace. Where is your cross? Jesus says, take it up. You're going to go through some things. But he went through it first. And he is right by your side today. You will get through this week, this day, this hour. You can let it go, your anxiety, your resistance, and let God. Let God live in you. So do not be afraid of loss. Let your heart open to a greater glory. Jesus took up his cross. Now let us take up ours. We can follow through. This I deliver to you in the name of the Holy Trinity, who creates, redeems, and sustains the world in amazing covenant love day by day. Amen.
Thank you for listening on our podcast or through our YouTube playlist of sermons. Be sure to forward this message to someone who you believe is seeking God's word today.